From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. I am obsessed with the cycle of change. And by that, I mean that something changes, something new comes along, and then that new thing eventually becomes old. And by that point, everyone is comfortable with the old thing. And so when some new thing comes along, they now say, oh, well, this isn't good. I like the old thing. But the new thing sticks around, and then they become acclimated to the new thing. And then they really like the new thing. And then the cycle repeats. The new thing becomes the old, and they're really attached to the old. And they just don't seem to remember that new things become old things, that new things eventually do become comfortable as well, that new has value. And instead, we just hang on to old. And I don't understand why we do this. And I'm fascinated and constantly exploring why we do, because I think that there are lessons here. If we can understand it, if we can kind of get ahead of that cycle, there are so many lessons for success. I think that the greatest entrepreneurs, in fact, are people who can snap out of that cycle, who can recognize that just because something is comfortable, that doesn't mean that it's better than the new thing that's going to come along. In fact, the new thing might even by default be worth taking more seriously than the old thing. Not always, but just saying, new can be really good. And I think that this pandemic that we are now finally exiting from in some form or another, who knows what that even means, but we're exiting, that this should be a giant lesson in how change and new things, in getting out of our comfort zone, in being separated from the old and the familiar, can actually be a great opportunity that we should learn from and that we should continue to harness moving forward. And on this episode of Problem Solvers, I want to give you two ways of thinking about that, two sort of different philosophies. It's just me talking to you this time. There's no guest, but I'm going to share two things. First, I'm going to share a way of thinking about it that I wrote in my editor's letter column in the March issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. And then after the break, I'm going to share something else that I like to call reconsider the impossible. And by the end of it all, I hope that I have convinced you, or at least gotten you thinking about the change that we've come from and the exciting change that's still to come. All coming up after the break. Just the other day, I opened this app that I use all the time, and it had no idea who I was. It wanted me to enter my username and password. Come on, I don't remember my username and password. Just let me in. Why don't you remember me? You know what this is? It is an identity problem. And this is the type of experience that Ping Identity makes awesome. So what is Ping Identity? It is the leader in global enterprise identity security, and it helps the world's largest organizations deliver secure, extraordinary digital experiences to their employees and customers. Because look, security is very important, but it shouldn't also have to be bothersome. If your app forgets your most loyal customers, you've got a problem. If your internal systems can't enable your employees to securely access anything they need without constantly entering and changing passwords, you've got a problem. And so Ping Identity solves those problems. It makes your business secure and agile, so customers can access what they want when they want it, and your employees can be productivity rock stars no matter where they are. Ping Identity is the champion of enterprise identity security. You want to learn more? Just go to pingidentity.com. Again, that is ping, P-I-N-G, pingidentity.com. All right, we're back. So we're talking today about how this moment of great change that we are exiting should leave us with a lasting lesson about the importance of finding those moments of change going forward. And so here, this is, I'm going to start it off with my editor's note. I called this, "We Know Less Than We Think." And here it is. We thought we knew best. Meetings had to happen in the same room. Relationships were built on specific experiences. Work demanded certain specifications. Then a global pandemic proved us wrong. I first realized this in COVID-19's early days. I have two young boys, and they developed an impressive intuition for whenever a camera or microphone was on. As actually listeners of this show know, I'd be making Problem Solvers or my other podcast, Build for Tomorrow, or giving a virtual keynote or interviewing someone by Zoom, and they would come bursting into the room and I'd try to wave them off, but it was just pointless. They would yell and jump and my five-year-old would beeline towards the camera making farting noises. So then I switched strategies. I embraced the chaos. I started including their interruptions in my podcasts. I'd put a child on my lap and keep going with a keynote. If I was in the middle of an interview, I would just pause for some introductions. This is my son, Fenn, and he's going to sit here for a while. And that's when I discovered something. These weren't interruptions. These were highlights. They were the moments people remembered fondly or emailed me about afterwards. My noisy kids had become a professional asset. I have heard a version of this story from so many people. For example, I recently spoke with Ojo Labs founder John Berkowitz. You might remember this. This is from an earlier episode of Problem Solvers. When COVID-19 began, he was in the process of acquiring a Japanese-owned company. This normally would have meant flying to Japan for a marathon of meetings and late-night dinners because Japanese culture is so relationship-oriented. But once the world shut down, dinners were replaced with video chats.
They were at home. I was at home. Kind of nice, right? Everybody in the world's at home. So
this is John Berkowitz. Obviously, I cannot insert audio clips into a magazine column, but I can do it for the podcast version.
You know, their kids are in the background. My kids are in the background. You can kind of lean into the uncertainty to build a relationship faster, to show your humanity. I think that was an interesting thing. It's hard to build a relationship in a boardroom. When you are in your house and you're like, kid busts in and the internet goes out, we all get to know each other a little bit more intimately.
And it had an impact. The deal went through. I even heard this from the founder of Zoom himself. I interviewed Eric Yuan for our December 2020 cover story. And of course, my five-year-old ran over to ask me about his missing Beyblade toy in the middle of it. That got Eric and me talking about the impact that Zoom calls have had on his team.
Employee engagement is better, actually.
This is Eric.
Not only do I know more employees, but also I know their team, the family member as well. Like I just met with your son, right?
Right.
And quite often, you know, it happens, you know, it's good actually. It's more like Zoom, more like a bigger family, right? So if you know your family member, you also know my family member, it's even more engaged.
Compare all of this against our tech-focused fears from before. We used to obsess over our screen time and dismiss digital connectivity tools as subpar and less human. We thought that video chat could never, under any circumstances, be better than an in-person meeting. And generations before us, people made similarly wild predictions about how their new tech would tear them apart. One of my favorites comes from the famous composer John Philip Sousa, who in 1906 wrote a screed against the earliest record players, which were called phonographs. Among his concerns, he said that mothers would stop singing to their children and instead play the machine. And because babies imitate their mothers, their babies will, quote, become simply human phonographs without soul or expression, end quote. It is safe to say Sousa was wrong. I play Spotify for my kids, but I also sing them lullabies, and they display a lot of soul and expression. Today, just like in 1906, we thought we knew how change would impact us. We saw rules that couldn't be broken and a delicate balance that dare not be upset. And then because of this pandemic, we were forced to do the things that we once thought were impossible. And we discovered that they're actually valuable. What do we know? Not much. And let's remember that. We like to put ourselves in a box to assume that everything worth knowing is inside of our walls, but the real opportunities are beyond them. Entrepreneurs must exit that box and go stand on top of it. See the infinite possibilities. See the solutions that others might see as threats or crazy or just downright impossible. And then let's show them what they're missing. So, okay, that was the column. And I said there in the very end, I said, reconsider the impossible. I told you that is step two here. So after a short break, let's talk about reconsidering the impossible. What makes a workplace great or absolutely terrible? That is what the podcast Rocket Ship FM is investigating in its new season because they have collected hundreds of anonymous stories of the worst workplace experiences and will be featuring the best of them all season long. Just imagine overbearing bosses and toxic cultures and HR nightmares and failed office romances and so much more. This is going to be juicy. Rocketship FM is an influential business podcast that has brought stories and advice to the startup community for the last 7 years. In each episode, they bring on a guest to help talk through an important business issue and bring a little sanity and hopefully clarity to it all. And in this upcoming season, which is their 10th, they'll be looking at these anonymous stories of bad workplaces and then talking to experts about what went wrong and how to create great places to work. A critical subject for any entrepreneur. So take a listen. Just search rocketship.fm wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, we're back. So let's build off of what I was just talking about a minute ago about how we don't know as much as we think we do, and how, in fact, going out and embracing the unknown should be a valuable lesson about the value of the unknown. And to start illustrating that, let me tell you just this little story that I have become kind of obsessed with. I was recently emailing with a woman named Lena Fleminger. She owns a wig store called Lena's Wigs. And in pre-COVID times, she had a storefront that she operated like a storefront. Anybody could walk in and browse the wigs. And then COVID came along and she couldn't operate it that way anymore. So instead, she offered things by appointment only. And this was concerning to her. You know, as you can imagine, she's running this wig store. She's thinking that the business comes in through the front door, and now the door is closed, and who's going to make an appointment for a wig? But as it turns out, lots of people do. In fact, she was able to lower her costs significantly, and her customers were happier and bought more wigs because, well, if people aren't walking through the front door, then she doesn't need to hire someone to like manage those people. And those people who were walking in the front door were never actually customers. They were just kind of curious. Her actual customers really wanted a private experience. They needed the wig because of religious reasons or medical reasons or whatever the case is. And so they really loved having personalized experiences. They wanted an appointment. They didn't want to walk through the front door. Lena would have never, ever figured that out if this moment hadn't come, if she hadn't been pushed into it. And these kinds of stories, I've just heard so many of them. So many moments in which entrepreneurs were forced into some kind of change, and it was scary, and it wasn't something that they would have done before, wasn't something they would have done on their own. They did it under duress, but they discovered some great value that came out of it. Something fantastic, something that they are happy to have and that they are not going to get rid of once we're able to, quote unquote, go back to normal. And after hearing stories like this for so long, I started to wonder, what is it about a moment like this that pushes people, that creates these kinds of new fantastic opportunities? And then I heard from, this is another thing that I've become obsessed with. I may have even shared it on the show before, is this little clip from a guy named Brian Berkey, who's an assistant professor of legal studies and business ethics at Wharton. And his answer for why a moment of crisis can create these great opportunities was just so perfect and concise. He said this:
a crisis like this can kind of shift the window on the options that we are willing collectively to take seriously.
Shift the window of the options that we are willing to collectively take seriously. Let me translate that. What he's saying is things that we thought were impossible turn out to not be impossible. That there were all of these things that we could have done. They were available to us. They were always available to us. These are not solutions that were beamed down from Mars. They were always there. Lena could have at any time went to appointments only. It's just that we never did because they just seemed impossible. They seemed like crazy ideas. We're not going to do those. And then we were forced to consider them. We were forced to reconsider the impossible. And what we discovered was that the impossible was not only actually quite possible, but sometimes extremely beneficial. And this is the kind of lesson, this is the thing that I really want us to hold on to. Look, we have been through a moment here where we've discovered that the things that we didn't want to do actually held tremendous value. And that will be true in the future too. That will be true. Hopefully, we will not be forced to reconsider any impossibilities because of a second pandemic. I really don't want that. Nobody wants that. But instead, what I think we should do is constantly be pushing ourselves into these kinds of change moments where we're looking around and we're saying, what else can I do? What are the things that I'm dismissing right now that are actually really valuable? How can I identify what I have just subconsciously considered impossible and then surface it and see if it's possible? That's really exciting. That to me is the mission statement of coming out of this moment right now, where we are about to regain a lot more control over our own lives. And now it is just time. Time to start building, to rebuild, to build more, whatever the case is, but let us not get too comfortable. Let us not forget that there will always be things that we think are impossible. There will always be things that we think we know, and we're wrong. We're just wrong. There are impossibilities that are actually quite possible. There are things that we know that we don't know at all. And the more that we push ourselves to discover that and to find the real value and opportunity that's in front of us that we're not looking at, oh boy. Well, with that, anything is possible. So anyway, that's the episode of Problem Solvers. I'm just going to make a quick plug here for something else that I create. It's called Build for Tomorrow. I mentioned it briefly at the beginning of the show. It is a podcast that I make that really dives deep into these kinds of stories, these moments of great change that we all have experienced throughout time, and trying to understand what are the lessons that we can learn from these moments of great change that we can use to help shape the future. For example, I just did an episode recently looking at why to-go cocktails had been illegal until the pandemic. Like, why was that? And then what can we learn about that shift to see how big changes happen in sometimes actually quite small ways, because one little change can lead to gigantic changes. I also have done episodes on like why we hate being told what to do and how to change people's behavior anyway. I did an episode on what good can come out of a pandemic by looking back at the history of terrible things like pandemics and all the good, the transformative good that came out of them. And a recent episode that I really loved was one in which I started with the premise that we were always obsessed with the good old days. Everyone always talks about the good old days, but when were the good old days? Anyway, I went back through thousands of years of history searching for the good old days. It is a lot of fun. And the lesson to take away, it's going to change your perspective on how we think about our modern times and why we romanticize the past so much. Anyway, if that all sounds interesting to you, it's called Build for Tomorrow. You can get it wherever you get podcasts, including this one. All right, that's all. Back next week with more Problem Solvers. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.